census card, that we might have a record of your attendance, and also that we might recognize you, be able to see who you are, that we might greet you before you leave on today. So thank you so much for being with us. We don't take your visit with us lightly. We know that you could have visited other places or could have gone other places or been doing other things, but for some reason you chose to come and to be with us today. It may have been at a personal invitation from someone, or you may have come on your own volition, or your own will, just decided that I want to go down and visit with the Northwest Church of Christ today. We thank you so much for coming. And especially since today is the fourth Sunday, which is our evangelism emphasis day, when we will be putting a great emphasis upon what the Lord would have for all men to do to be saved, so that we all can one day see his face in peace. In order to do that, of course, we've got to conform our lives to his written word, and we also have to be in the right place, which is the right church, as you see in the bulletin this morning, that we're going to be talking about how to select the right church. The church is very, very important. It is so important until the Lord died for it, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. And it is so important that the Lord added to it in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41 as well as 47. And since that day, when men obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, he has been continually adding people to the church. The church is that institution that will ferry our souls, if you will, from earth to heaven. And in order to get there, we must go through the church. So the church is very, very important. So I hope that you will take some good notes of what we'll be talking about today and receive, as James says, in James 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. So if you're here today and maybe you're looking for a church home, and sometimes we say this from the pulpit, especially when we are opening the services, if you're looking for a church home, we hope that you've just found it by being here today. But there are some prerequisites, of course, to be a member of the Lord's church, and we'll talk about those things before this lesson concludes today. But at any rate, we're grateful that you're here this morning, and for all of us who are members of the body of Christ, hopefully this lesson will encourage us to remain faithful members of the body of Christ, because you know as well as I know that there are people that are leaving the body of Christ. They're not satisfied with the Lord's church, and they are leaving it and going off into error, and we want to encourage all who are members to remain faithful to the Lord, because Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death. Then he says, I will give thee a crown of life. 179 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement this morning while we're standing and singing that song at the conclusion of our lesson. If anyone need to respond to the Lord this morning, we hope that you take advantage of that time and do so before it's everlasting and eternally too late. 179 has been announced. God is calling the prodigal. God wants all men to come to him. In Acts chapter 2, passages were read beginning at verse number 40 through the end of the chapter. In Acts chapter 2, we sometimes term this as the birthday chapter of the church. Luke records the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. The gospel was preached on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter responded to a particular question that they asked in verse number 36, men and brethren, what shall we do? 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then verse number 40 that was read this morning said, with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or this untoward generation. And then those that gladly received his word were baptized, and on that first day, about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. And in the process of time, the Bible says that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and fear came upon every soul, and they were going from house to house, eating their meals and having the fellowship one with another. And they had much favor with the people. And verse number 40 says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. With all the many churches in the world today, people are confronted sometimes with the problem of selecting or seeking out the one to belong to. And perhaps some may be here today who have contemplated the importance of having a church connection. But maybe you have not as yet become a member of any religious group, or maybe you have become a member of a religious group. But you may not be satisfied with that group, or you may be satisfied with that group. But I hope in our study today that we will address this urgent and important question of how one should go about in selecting and choosing the right church. And when I speak of the church, I'm talking about people who are the children of God. And I'm not talking about the building or a particular organization, but I'm talking about the people of God who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have obeyed God on his terms of salvation. And God has the terms of salvation. We don't devise the terms of salvation. God gives us his terms. Therefore, we must obey his terms and then worship him acceptably in his sight. So as we look at this lesson this morning, I want us to look at the criteria, if you will, for selecting the right church. And I want you to examine this criteria with the church that you may be a member of and see if it stands the test. And if it does not stand the test, I hope and trust that you will seriously consider obeying the Lord so that he will add you to the right church. First of all, I want us to consider this morning some things which should not govern or guide us in our selection of the church. Things which should not. And then I'll talk about things or some things which should. In deciding where you will worship God, there are certain things that should not be a part of the criteria to use such a, such a determination. First of all, one should not select a church simply because it is in the most convenient location. It may be right down the street from your house, or it may be in your neighborhood. Well, many feel that since there's no difference in religious bodies or religious churches, that it may be best just to pick out one that's close to you and just attend their services. This criteria may be well and good in selecting maybe which grocery store to go to. I'm not pushing a particular grocery store. I could mention Kroger, since we have a brother that works for Kroger, but I'm not pushing any particular grocery store. But selecting a grocery store that's close to your house may be a good criteria if it has the things that you want. You say, well, okay, I don't have to drive all across town. Besides, gas prices are so high, I'll spend as much money going across town than what I'll save here anyway, or whatever. So selecting a church, or selecting a grocery store, I should say, might be all right when you use that criteria that is right in my vicinity. But I want to tell us this morning that this is a hardly a logical or scripture reason for choosing or selecting a church. One must act in religion out of conviction and not convenience. Let me say that again. One in religion must act out of conviction, that is to please God, rather than out of convenience. You see, the group meeting near you may be teaching the truth, but it also may not be teaching the truth. Thus, you and I should investigate what is being taught and determine if this teaching agrees with what the Bible teaches. After all, it's the Bible, or it's God's word, that's going to be our judge in the end. Well, Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him." He said, "The words that I speak unto you, the same will judge you in the last day." So we're going to be judged by the Lord's word. Therefore, we need to examine what is being taught at any religious organization in comparison with the scripture and make sure that it is in conformity with the Lord's word, because on the judgment day, we're going to be judged by his word. So we need to examine what is being taught. Acts chapter 17 is a good example of some people that examined what was being taught. And we call them the noble Bereans. So if my brother would put that on the screen, or if my operator would put that on the screen, look at what the Bible says concerning some people down in the area of Berea. The Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they did what? Searched the scriptures daily." Why were they searching the scriptures daily? Whether those things were so. They were examining what was being taught. Now, how would they know whether they were so or not? They would place them against the scriptures. And at that point in time, they would have only the Old Testament scriptures to examine them against. So they examined what was being taught. Things in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. How Christ would suffer, how he would die, how he would rise again the third day. And Paul and Silas was teaching them things concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they put these things that Paul and Silas was teaching them against the scriptures to see whether they were so. They wanted to be right. They weren't concerned about convenience. They were concerned about conviction. They wanted to know whether they would be right or not. And so the Bible continues to read in the next verse, "Therefore, as a result of what they examined, many of them believed." And you can translate this word "believe," they obeyed the gospel. "Many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." The point that I'm making at this point in time is that don't select a church to become a member of simply because it's next door to you, simply because it's down the street, simply because it's in your own neighborhood, but you examine what is being taught, if it's in conformity with the word of God, rightly divided, then that's the church that you need to be looking for. A second thing that one should not use to select a church is because it has a large membership or a beautiful building. A lot of times people use that to determine where they're going to go and worship God. You know, they got a large membership over there. They got a beautiful edifice or a beautiful building. And there's nothing wrong with a large membership. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful building. But again, it's what's being taught in that edifice and what those members believe according to the Bible, whether it's a large membership or whether it's a few. But many people will use that as a criteria. Oftentimes we hear someone would make a statement maybe like this: "With all of those people there, surely nothing can't be wrong with that. because look at the number of people. But brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this morning, the number of persons in an assembly who believe a thing does not determine whether that thing is right or not. You see, an error multiplied by a million is still an error. In other words, the wrong thing multiplied by, if we had 1,000, 2,000 people here this morning, if we all believed the wrong thing, we'd be still wrong. Doesn't matter how many folks believe something. That doesn't determine whether it's right or not. The Bible, as a matter of fact, leads us to understand that the minority are the fewest people, I should say, if I can term it like that, are the ones that's going to be on the side of truth. You know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? Well, let's look at what it says. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The Lord says that the multitudes are going to go in the wrong direction. But then the next verse says this, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So which group you want to be in? I know which one I want to be in. And I believe you want to be in the same group that I want to be in. I want to be in the group that's on its way unto everlasting life. The group of the few. Now, does God want the multitude to be saved? Yes, God wants all men to be saved. But simply because all men will not receive the love of the truth, will not obey the truth, God is going to save only those that obey it. And God has already said in his word that it's just going to be a few. We've been studying in our Tuesday morning class in the book of Romans, talking about the remnant. It's just going to be a few. Is that God's plan? No, that's not God's plan. God's plan, again, is for everyone to be saved. But God will not save anyone who does not want to be saved. And a person who does not want to be saved will not be saved. We got to want to be saved. That's why we got to look for the right thing. Look for God's proper teaching in order to obey it. In order that we might be saved. So don't just select a church because it has the largest membership. Thirdly, one should not select a church to become a member of simply because one likes the preacher. Sometimes you hear statements like that. Well, you know, I like that preacher over there. I'm going to go over there. I like that preacher. Preachers, I'm sure, like to be liked. I like to be liked. But don't like me just because I'm the preacher. Make sure that what I'm saying is the right thing. Many of people, no doubt, have been led astray because they simply like the preacher and they don't check out what the preacher is saying. Since he's a likable person, he has a great personality, he may be eloquent, can deliver some of the most eloquent sermons there. Maybe he said, oh, he's a good preacher. And so I'm going to follow them. I'm going to follow him. I want to tell us about a man in the Bible who was leading some folks wrong. And he was an eloquent, a very likable person. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 18. Look at what the Bible says there. In verse number 24. And we're going to go all the way through 28 if it's there, but anyway, we're going to start with verse number 24. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, and what? Eloquent man. A man who, if you will, had a civil tongue of speech. An eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures that he knew. Mighty in the Scripture. Now, I said that, but you'll see it in just a little bit. Mighty in the Scripture, the Bible says, came to Ephesus. Notice about this man. Go back there just one moment. Notice what this about this man again. He's an eloquent man. He is what? Mighty in the Scriptures. When you take those two things together, surely this must be the man to follow. But look again, look what the Bible says in the next verse. The Bible says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. Don't we need folks that are fervent in the Spirit? Yeah. Romans 12 tells us to be fervent in the Spirit. So we need folks that are fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But here's the problem. Knowing only the baptism of John. He is a man, after Jesus had died, gone back to heaven, who is mighty in the Scriptures, teaching people, but he only knew the baptism of John. Well, let's see what happened. The Bible says in the next verse, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they said, this is my preacher. Is that what you're reading up there? They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And I want to say this to any of you out there this morning. If you hear me say something wrong, don't leave here without bringing that to my attention. Because I'm human. I can make a mistake. And again, I don't know all the Scripture. None of us know all the Scripture. But at least the part that we try to deliver, that we try to teach, we try to know it, but we still may mess that up. So don't leave here if I say something that's contrary to the Scriptures. Do the same thing that Aquila and Apollos did. They took him aside and they taught him the way of God more perfectly. He's an eloquent man. He's fervent in the Scriptures. He's fervent in the Spirit, rather, mighty in the Scriptures, and he's teaching diligently. But yet he didn't have it all just right. He knew only the baptism of John. The Bible continues to say this. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. And the next verse says this. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures, that Jesus was the Christ. He got it right now. That's why when you go on, and we won't read it this morning, but when you go on to Acts chapter 19, you'll find 12 men there that had been baptized, but they had been baptized under the teaching, if you will, of Apollos, who only knew the baptism of John, and they had not received the Holy Ghost since they believed, and as a result of that, they said, we haven't heard about the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said they were baptized again. Sometimes folks are just like I was. I'll stand here to tell you that I was hung up on being baptized once. I'd already been baptized before I became a member of the Church of Christ. And my wife will tell you that I was hung up over that for years. I've already been baptized. But you know what? I was baptized with the wrong baptism. Those 12 men had been baptized with the wrong baptism. So when they got the right teaching, then they were baptized right. And they were in harmony with the will of God. So here's a man that was very likable, very impressionable. Mighty in the Scripture, the Bible says, eloquent, a good speaker. But he was wrong in some of his teaching. So don't follow a preacher, if you will. Don't become a member of a church simply because you like the preacher. Examine what the preacher is saying according to the Bible. And if he's saying the right thing according to the Bible, then that's the place that you need to be. If he's teaching according to the Scripture. Sometimes folks will go on again what somebody else has said, but notice I said go on, examine the Scripture, what the man is saying with the Scripture. If he's saying what the Scripture said, then you are seeing what the Scripture say, and you're not doing it simply because he says it.
I may not have this one in there, but if you could quickly go over to John chapter 4. And I want to show us something about, and I may not finish this lesson this morning, but I want to show us something about some Samaritans. In John chapter 4, Jesus passed through Samaria. Key in John chapter 4, and go down to about verse 28, and we're going to start there. But as you're keying that in, Jesus goes into the area of Samaria, and he meets a woman at the well. She's come to the well to draw water. And he has a conversation with this woman. And in this conversation, he points out some things, and she perceives that he's a prophet. And he tells her what true worship is all about. So after this conversation is over now, she goes back into the city. Do we have it in there? Pop up, if you will, verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men, next verse, we'll wait, give a little time to get in there. She goes back into the city and she says to the men of the city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the next verse says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now drop on down to verse 39, if you will. We're going to see what happens there in verse 39. It'll be there in a minute. Maybe you're having a little problem. You got it, Brother Brian. Go ahead and read. Verse 39. The Bible says, there he is. The Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And verse number 40 says this. So when the Samaritans would come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he stayed, or he abode there 2 days. And we're going to go all the way to verse 42. And you'll see the point that I'm going to make here in a minute. Verse 41 says this. And many more believed because of his own word. Now, some believe because of the woman's word. That's good. The woman told them that he told me everything I've done, basically. She told them the right thing. Many of them believed on it. But notice this. This is the group that I really want to key in on. And many more believed because of his own word. And verse 42 says this. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You notice what this group says? Yeah, you told us about the Christ. We heard what you said. But we don't believe on you simply because you said it. We have heard what he said out of his own mouth. Amen. The point that I'm making from this is that a person may even tell you the right thing, but make sure you read out of God's word, and you don't have to believe it simply because the person told you. You believe it because you read it with your own eyes. She told them about the Christ. They say, yeah, we heard you. But we don't believe it because you said it, or simply because you said it. We have seen him with our own eyes, and we've heard him with our own ears. Now we believe. They were convinced. Again, don't accept something simply because somebody tells you that, or simply because you lack the preacher. That's the point that I'm making here. Simply because you lack the preacher, or you lack the Bible school. I like to go over there on Wednesday night. I like to go over there on Sunday morning because they have a great Bible school teacher there. Oh, he really can really explain that. That's good. But examine what he's saying. Make sure you read it out of God's word, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's telling you the right thing. A fourth thing, one should not select a church solely on the recommendation of one's parents, one's spouse, one's friends or associates. Sometimes people choose churches because of that. And usually, and I'll be the first to admit, usually when we grow up as kids, if our families, if our parents are church-going folks, guess where we're going? The same place where they're going. Now, they may be going to the right place, or they may not be going to the right place, but as children, usually gather us up, Brian, and they take us right with them. And we'll get there and probably get comfortable there and start liking it there. But again, as we grow up and begin to be able to reason things for ourselves, we need to be able to, again, go back to the scripture and find out whether they are at the right place or not. And if we find out they are not at the right place, we need to have the courage to say, Mama, Daddy, friend, sister, brother, this is the wrong place for me. I'm coming out of this. I want to encourage you to go with me.
Yeah.
Well, some folks, they're born a Baptist, and they'll tell you in a minute they're going to die a Baptist.
Right.
They're born a Methodist, they'll tell you in a minute they're going to die a Methodist. Why? Because all of my family grew up like this.
Yeah.
All your family jump off the bridge, or you going to jump off that too? Not many of us going to do that unless we follow Jim Jones. We choose and we do what we know is right. That's what we need to do in religion. Don't follow a religion simply because your friends, simply because your family members or your associates go in a certain direction. Again, you examine God's word. And if you find out it's wrong, have the courage to leave. Because after all, Christianity is a personal thing. It's not a family thing. It's a personal thing. We worship collectively, yes. But it's a personal thing. When we stand before God in the judgment, we're not going to stand there as the Northwest Church of Christ. William Porter is going to stand there as William Porter. John Branch is going to stand there as John Branch. Sister Lily Thompson is going to stand there as Lily Thompson. That's why the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so that every one of us must give an account of himself before God. So don't allow your associates, don't allow your spouse, don't allow your friends to lead you in the wrong direction. Don't choose a church simply on the recommendations of people that are in your life. Well, as I hasted on, let me look quickly now at some things which should guide us. We've talked about some things which should not guide us. Now, some things which should guide us in selecting the right church. If we just follow the Bible again, we have an infallible guide. We have the Word of God that cannot be wrong, never has been wrong, never will be wrong. First of all, one should find a church whose only head is Christ. Christ must be the head of it. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. You see, the headship of Christ, or the headship of the church, I should say, was never given to any man or group of men. But yet you have men and women starting churches, have started churches, and they're the head of those churches. But the Bible says that the head of the body, the church, is Christ. He is the head of the body. There are religious groups who have exalted men, and they have their conferences, and they have their conventions, and they have their synods to work out their various laws and rules and regulations and practices of those religious institutions. But as members of the body of Christ, those who want to please God recognize only the authority of Christ and his word. We have no other God other than the word of God. All that is taught and practiced is based upon the word of God, or thus says the Lord. 1 Peter 4:11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the what? Oracles of God. the word of God, the laws of God, the rules of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So then we have a statement that's been coined over the years that we speak as the Bible speaks, and we are silent while the Bible is silent. That must be our conviction, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. We must only align ourselves behind that which is written in the Word of God. A second criteria that one should use in determining the right church is to make sure that it wears the Scripture name both as individual members and as a collective body. The New Testament reveals that the early followers of Christ were known simply as Christians. Not of this kind of Christian or that kind of Christian, but simply Christians. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, look at what the Bible says there. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called what? Christians, first in Antioch. And ever since then, they've been called Christians.
Yeah.
You may see another designation, saints, the same thing, Christians. They were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the biblical name, that they are Christians. Peter states in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 15 and 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But he says, yet if any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Christian is the name that I'm talking about, that the individual members of the body of Christ wear, and only Christian. Not again this kind of Christian or another kind of Christian, but just a Christian. You hear people talking about what faith are you? That's evident that they don't realize that there's just one faith. When there's just one faith, you don't have to ask, what faith are you? We need to make sure that we are the faith that's taught in the Bible. The Bible says we can glorify God only in that name, Christian. You can never glorify God in wearing some other name. Unfortunately today, there are multitudes of people that are not content to be called simply Christians. You see, they want to be a certain kind of Christian. But Christ's people wear only his name. There are no denominational hallows attached to the people of Christ. They are Christians only. And let me underscore this, they're the only Christians. Don't leave here thinking that there are Christians in all churches.
Right.
The world has been deceived into thinking that.
Yeah.
That there are Christians in all churches. Christians are only in the Lord's church.
Yes.
When Paul referred to a number of congregations, I'm talking in the collective sense now, he says, the churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16, 16. That's the biblical name. That's the scriptural name. But again, there are people who are not content with that. They want to call their church this church, that kind of church, that kind of church. What's wrong with the name Church of Christ? It's in the Bible. What's wrong with it? Do we like the Bible? Do we love God's Word? If God's Word calls it a Church of Christ, that's what you and I ought to be looking for.
Amen.
The Church of Christ. Third thing that selecting a church, one must learn if his worship is scripture. Going back to John chapter 4, God taught that Samaritan woman about what worship was all about. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, he says, God is a